friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. So who is this Thomas Kempis? So first consideration with a work of this length of whatever is translation. That was episode one. So now who is the author? And this is a second point I failed to appreciate, but would have been very consoling if I would have gotten it. Kempis was a novice master for his monastic community. A novice master is an extremely important part in the life of the community. It both ensures its continuance, so you continuously have new men, or if it's women, new women come in. But it also is to form them in the charism of that convent or monastery order, whatever they, you know, different groups like to call them, cynical, whatever they like to call themselves. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing in new fresh blood, and that new fresh blood has to have a certain understanding of what the mission is for this group of adults. The monk, his audience are young men. You know, they have good desires. They want to be in the monastery and they want to love Jesus. And they are got, you know, young male situations. And they want to, you know, they may not always have a clarity of thought, or maybe their emotions aren't always together, or whatever else that we all experience. So Kempis isn't writing for the Teresa Bavelas of the world.
Right.
You know, really, we can all put ourselves in that place of the aspirant,
right? You know,
postulant, the soul who really wants to follow our Lord, and would really appreciate some good ideas on how to do that.
Yeah, I think that we have to look at this as a soul seeking instruction, right? What needs to? It's interesting because we are at a time in history where, you know, the body is being valued less and less, and Gnosticism, you know, this search for some information that's going to, you know, make everything right, everything well, or, you know, everybody's seeking for some easy answer, and yet what is lacking, the antidote, the true antidote, is an authentic spiritual. And that is why a book like The Imitation of Christ is so essential, because it's not a counterfeit. It's not an easy answer. And really, I think that when a person is really seeking truth, he's not seeking a quick fix. He expects things to be challenging and to be difficult. And it's not so much that this is difficult or challenging. The reading is fairly easy. I mean, it's not really a difficult text to read through, but to apply it is where the authentic challenge is going to come in. But if you don't at least read it, like I kind of liken reading St. Thomas Kempis, I'm sorry, not saint, he's not a saint, but Thomas Kempis, to reading any other type of like philosophy. You can't stop at everything that makes you pause and think, right? You must read it and then let that sit in your soul for a little while and then come back. The instructor has to be allowed to teach without your interruption, if that makes sense. So you simply have to read it and take it at face value and presume that if you've put yourself underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the things that are going to matter to you upon that second look, that third look, that fourth look, are going to start coming back to you. But you could literally spend months in meditation on the first section. That's what you said before, right? You read it and you don't get through it. You read it and then you don't get through it. But now that you have comprehended the entirety of the text, you can see why getting to the end of it becomes part of the essence, right?
That's right. Kempis loved his monastery. He was only outside of its walls twice.
Yeah.
in the 72 years with which he lived. So it's not like he was out just for 2 days. One was a couple of weeks or something, I think years, another shorter period of time. But only twice he would leave. Mm-hmm. And he would say that he felt diminished as a monk each time he was gone. Yep. And he never considered this work to be anything other than a few thoughts for the young men under his care, much like the writing of Interior Castle with Teresa of Avila. She did it under obedience. So I'm going to bang between the two, these two texts going forward. And she's, you know, she did it under obedience. She was absolutely sure no one but her sisters were going to see it. And right. I think it's the same there. Authorship. Yeah. Of course, there's scholarly debate about authorship. Of course there is. Creasy presents both sides, pro against if Kempis wrote it, if it was somebody else who wrote it, if it was a group effort, he wrote some of it, but didn't write all of it. And looking at through all of that, he tends to side with the weight of tradition. And I almost always tend to side that way, unless good, unless good evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
The genre, I didn't know there was such a thing. It's considered 15th to 17th century English prose devotional literature.
English.
English prose devotional literature.
I guess the person who put it into its genre did not know that it was written in Latin.
No, because it was composed, there it is, it was composed between the years 1420 to 1427. The first Latin autograph was 1441. Right. And the earliest English translation is 30 years later, 1470. And it was printed in 1503. Right. So mid-1400s up to the 15th. Where the Latin, Sarah's right, manuscript is housed at the Bibliothèque Royale in Brussels, Netherlands. The historical setting, I think, has some relevance to what we are in right now. There was the Great Schism, shattered the church for two generations. Pope Urban VI was a savage, cruel, repulsive, and vengeful autocrat. He probably murdered 5 cardinals who opposed him. So we have a church in scandal.
Right.
The Black Death swept Europe in 1348, killing a third of the population in less than 3 years. Right. And it reoccurred every decade, thereabouts, for 100 years, with more deaths at each occurrence. So we have a church in serious turmoil. We have a health pandemic that was really serious. That was really serious. And then because of those two things, there was great social unrest and economic hardship. The Netherlands suffered. The Low Countries were at this time a loose collection of fiefs. And it was a land of industrial commerce greatly impacted by the wide swings in supply caused by the Black Death, right? We see these wide swings in supply caused by COVID. Mm-hmm. Constant wars on the continent further compounded this economic strife. And the monastery provided Thomas and those around it with a haven of peace. Right. And I think we can really now get into what that is. And that peace allowed him to find God and therefore communicate that to the novices, those young men, and by extension
to us.
To us.
Yep.
All right. Any other thoughts? We're about to go into the text itself now.
No, I think that's a good synopsis.
All right, my friends. Till the next time, fides ad ratio.